when the moon is high. The shadows dance, the evil will rise. The world between the living and the dead is dead. So now is the time to let the horror you know end.
Everybody, and welcome back to the Horror You Know podcast. I'm Ian.
I'm Darren.
I'm Ian.
And I'm Trent.
Why Darren's screaming on the mic like
he's excited, man.
He wanted to let his presence be known. I'm Darren!
Yeah, he's excited.
It's been like Leo DiCaprio and What's Eating Gilbert Grape. I'm done!
Are you telling us or my neighbors?
Man, there's been pizza, there's been cake, there's been cheese sticks. What's not to be
but
excited?
He hasn't had any of them.
But it's still here.
Did he bring three Arnie Palmies with him this week?
Yes. Two.
If he wasn't full off of brats when he got here, he would have been excited about that pizza.
I threw it off for Lent.
I was going to say, it is Easter weekend. We're all here gathered together for Easter weekend.
Has everybody had a good Friday so far?
We've had a good Friday.
Good Friday. Mine's been a little stressful. But you know,
you expect. I wanted to celebrate Easter, and I got you guys all some these special Trump endorsed Bibles. Hope you like them.
I'm not going to take it. Declaration of Independence plus a highlight of the Second Amendment in it.
I couldn't have passed it up. It was a hell of a deal. It was only like $60 a pop.
Yeah.
It's like the podcast would love these.
Well, I think I'll take my copy and just pay it forward to somebody else.
I don't really have Bibles for you. I just thought that's funny. I do have a Mormon Bible. I got visited by some of Ian's friends. Some Mormon people came to our door the other day. Talked to Jensen and gave us a little Mormon Bible.
I know.
You can't see him, but he's dressed up in his spiffy little white button up.
Hello, sir. Can I borrow a minute of your time? Do you know Jesus?
Here to talk about your Lord and Savior, cheese and crust.
Pizza. Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ, man. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen one day.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be awesome.
Anyway, happy Easter to all. I think it's passed by the time you hear this episode.
Drink over there,
quite
parched.
Hope you all had a good Easter.
Yeah, hunting any eggs out there, Trent?
Oh, I'm going to hunt some eggs.
You guys have big plans for the holiday?
I always go to church. Used to have Easter egg hunts, but my kids are all grown, so they don't do that. We still get a basket.
So now he hunts by himself.
I bet if you got some of those plastic eggs and just put money in all of them, your grown kids would still do it.
Oh yeah, there's adult Easter egg hunts that probably have
they
tens
take my money a lot easier than that, so they don't have to hunt eggs.
Make them work for it this time, at least.
Yeah,
true. Well, why don't you throw one of those for us, your friends, and we'll come out there and hunt for
you.
Because
I'm the Mr. Moneybags. I'm a high school teacher. I'm Mr. Moneybags.
He wants us at his house less. He's not going to invite us over more.
I've invited you guys to my house.
/ filmmaker / artist. Man, you got it all.
I love how people say filmmaker. We made one shitty film that never got released, Trent. What do you think about that?
But people still want to watch it. I got a message again the other day.
It's still a classic.
Apparently there's this thing on Letterboxd where people go look for old obscure movies and watch them and review them, and I think we're a lucky recipient of that, maybe.
Oh, nice.
It's got like 2 reviews or something on Letterboxd, but they were good reviews. But enough of that. Let's talk about an actual movie. That got actually released and made a little money.
Made very little money.
Have you guys noticed that here lately the weather's been really crazy? It's like hot one day, cold the next. We have like severe like thunderstorms. We had a tornado recently, I think we talked about last time.
Yeah, I slept through it.
And there's been like... You slept through the tornado?
Slept through it, and it crossed the river like probably 4 blocks from my house.
And you slept through it?
I slept through it. I didn't even know anything happened until I woke up and was on my way to work.
Until he's still in his bed, just floating around in a cyclone.
All these sirens are going off everywhere.
I don't understand.
Wells is going to be the character that wakes up into like a post-apocalyptic world. Like,
what is that? What
the like Rick Grimes over here.
The miracle of modern day marijuana. Right there.
But yeah. And
why did he just talk about all the shit, the sirens? He looked like he was taking 2 dicks to the mouth.
Fucking sirens everywhere.
That was some of that Ric Flair drink.
So, because of that...
That's a strain, by the way.
So because, I really didn't know that. Because of that, we've had like severe like wind warnings. So the wind has been crazy here lately.
It's been windy as hell.
Been very windy.
My sister's name is Wendy.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
She's very windy.
She does, yeah.
Speaking of the wind.
As long as nobody breaks wind while we're podcasting, it'll be fine.
Oh, my God.
I can't promise that. But.
speaking of the wind. Mm-hmm. Did you guys know there's a movie called The Wind?
Gone with the Wind? Yeah, it's a classic.
No. Oh. Frankly,
I
don't give
a damn. I was looking forward to you talking about the weather and nature and all that it has to offer.
I am. But first, I'm going to tell you about The Wind. Well, I'm about the movie. I'm not going to tell you about like what makes.
Wait, there's
wind.
A horror movie called The Wind?
I don't know if I call it a horror. Yeah. The Wind.
You know?
But Darren watched a movie called Wind Chill. So.
Wind Chill.
He was close.
It's got like Emma Stone. No, not Emma Stone. What's the British Emma?
Emma Watson.
Emma Watson, maybe.
The British Emma.
Hey, that worked. I knew he's
might be Emma about. Watson.
It worked.
Yeah, from Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not her. I don't know.
You talking about Hermione?
Talking about her hiney, right? Am I right?
I don't think she's in it. It's somebody else. I'm thinking of somebody else.
Wow. All white girls named Emma look the same to me.
True.
Racist. Shame.
I'm racist.
Yeah.
I'm not racist.
So The Wind.
The Wind. Okay.
I hear The Wind.
I got to tell you. Yes. After watching this movie, I'm still not sure I understand why it's called The Wind.
What?
The wind was blowing a lot.
A lot of wind. It's very windy in that movie.
You really don't remember all the wind?
I don't.
Were you watching it on mute?
They even talk about the planes.
He was winded when he was watching it.
He's talking about the planes bringing the evil on the wind or something like that. They like she describes it.
Okay, maybe I do remember that line.
What the fuck is that? Is that a Charles Barkley blip? Anywho. The wind.
And I remember him talking about how cold it was, but I don't remember anybody being like, damn, it's windy out here today.
I don't think they said it like that. Damn, it's windy. Excuse me, fellas. So, The Wind.
Is there a story behind The Wind?
There kind of is. Not about a weather report. That's all.
The wind is created when pressure from the... No.
I was going to let you go ahead. So have you guys ever heard of Prairie Madness?
No. I mean, yes, but no.
Wait, what do you mean yes, but no? Yes, you just heard me say it and don't know what it is? Or?
I guess I've not heard like this specific thing, but I know that that's a thing. Does that make sense?
No, never heard it of doesn't it, actually.
But I feel like I can probably guess what it is.
Yeah.
They mention it in
Oregon Trail
with Wolves.
Oh, okay.
He talks about Prairie Madness. It was also in the first season of Little House on the Prairie.
Mm-hmm. Little House on the Prairie.
Because their neighbor
Madness.
Got Prairie Madness and tried to kill the mom.
Things I'm not familiar with.
It's probably a lot like Space Madness, except on the prairie.
Kinda. Yeah. Instead of
Sea Madness.
It's Semen Madness, yes.
I'd say there's all kinds of madness when you're in a desolate.
Going on out there every time we go to record.
Speed Madness. Yeah.
March Madness, am I right?
March Madness.
No, we're not watching basketball.
Well, we're not. Trent is.
Yeah, you can only imagine living like that, though, with just, like, one other person, and you have, like, no form of entertainment. Every day is just wake up, go farm the crops.
I would think even if you did have
some disease. Did you say go farm the crops?
Yeah.
I would think even if you did live around more people, it would still, I mean... Just wasn't much to do back in those days.
No. So let me go ahead and get into Prairie Madness a little bit before that pizza makes Trent start prairie dogging.
Too late.
Not on my couch. Prairie Madness is a documented phenomenon where immigrants who settled the Great Plains experience episodes of depression and violence. Apparently I have a little bit of Prairie Madness every day.
I was going to say, yeah, that sounds familiar.
The cause is commonly attributed to basically what you guys were just saying, the isolation between the households and settlements. However, historical accounts from the late 19th and early 20th century also specify the sound of the winds on the plain as a catalyst. Okay, so you guys brought up the prairies. mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. the isolation and everything. It's weird because you guys haven't seen my documents and my notes, so, you know, fuck off. But it's just like, I mean, we live in the town. Means is probably the closest to living what we call here the country, so to say.
The sticks.
The sticks, the if you will. But even though
Hilljack,
where Means
lives. Yeah, I live out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I live on land.
Meth country.
So meth country.
So, but you still got neighbors. I mean, you've got a little bit of land out there.
Yeah, I don't really talk to any of them. But
yeah, but I'm saying there are people.
I have neighbors.
But they're all mad. But there are people there. Around. But there are people around. You're talking about like here, like this is all farm country out there. There's no roads. There's no food. There's no money.
Our heads are falling off. Thank you.
Eat what you kill.
Wasn't this during the...
or what you grew, I guess.
The great... landward expansion to where they gave land if you could farm it for so many years in a row.
Yes, it is.
You got 160 acres and a mule or whatever that shit was.
What the hell?
I think that's in here at some point.
They even gave free black people at the time that as well.
They even gave away free black people? I thought that's what you were about to say.
No. Like free, like non-slave
farm
free
three
black
farms and you get a free black person.
So a lot of people
go
that,
with them.
I need my 60 acres.
A lot of people that couldn't buy
right?
land. So that's the thing. You mentioned immigration. You mentioned immigrants.
I'm allergic to
it
mules.
Wasn't people that were like already
instead?
Living here in America.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't get land on the East Coast because mm-hmm. they were not allowed to. So like the Italians, the Germans, the blacks, the Chinese, they were trying to use this.
A lot of Germans.
In. Yeah.
Surprisingly. Like, I know, like, you think, like, immigrants, you think somewhere a lot closer, but no, a lot of Germans migrated here and all these settlements and stuff. And to be honest with you, I don't know how familiar you guys are with the Amish culture. But a lot of Amish people speak a very old, like, dead, like, Dutch language.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Mennonites and German, they all speak this really old German and Dutch. And they're all, like, fluent in it. You ever notice, like, you talk to an Amish person, they've got kind of an accent when they talk? It's because, like, there's a hint of that older, you know, language in there. And they still know it, and they still, like, speak it to each other. But, like, they're not going to come up to you and start talking Dutch. Well, they might. But
they wouldn't walk up to you and say, "Die Mutter ist dick."
No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't say.
I bet
that.
He doesn't even remember what that means, and he was right there in the same German class as I was.
Enlighten us, Wells. What's that mean?
It means your mother is fat.
Wow. Yep. Why would an Amish guy come up and say that to you?
I don't know. That's the only thing I know. It's the only thing I retain. So.
Who said this to you?
Our teacher, Miss Keller, taught it to us.
She was a horrible teacher.
Yeah, she taught us some weird things.
So, the moral of the story is, what you just said, Darren, they would give you so much land if you could maintain it. And you didn't have any help. There wasn't like... The nearest town is like... A 2-day journey on horseback.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, they literally said that in the movie.
Yeah, so... every single time. A moped or something.
Recording a podcast here.
So, a number of conditions such as acute hypercosis... That's not how that's... Hyperacusis. That wasn't even close. Can cause increased sensitivity to environmental sounds, ergo, like the wind, okay? So these conditions can result from high stress and have been known to cause behavior consistent with description of prairie madness, such as depression, insomnia, and violent, erratic behavior. What that essentially means is it's kind of like we today say we're overstimulated by things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the same thing, but you got to remember when you're out on the farm, this isn't the same as, you know, saying that now. Like I said, your closest neighbor is miles away, and you don't have, you know, neighbors on all four corners, all like across the street or like that. Like I said, there's no roads. please. So
they're on one tonight.
We could use a no road situation right here.
So if you're out there and it becomes dark, now remember, there's obviously no TV, no cell phones, no cars driving by. There's no sound. So
what if a horse rode by and just yelled?
Like whinnied or like yelled?
Just, I don't hey! Know.
Why are horses yelling?
Just like, I don't know.
Wake up!
Trying to record a podcast back in the day with your tin cans and your...
Oh my God. It's got off the rails quick.
You can cut that. That was horrible.
You better keep it.
Dum-dum. Yeah, I'm keeping it. So, yeah, you wouldn't. Your neighbors wouldn't ride by on a horse with a bell, telling you the British are coming all the time.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah, there was no sound, so all you would hear is the obvious: the wind, a lot, probably some wild horses, coyotes. I mean, just all kinds of animals out there. So. Audiometric analysis of general human hearing patterns combined with the data on the effects of the wind in open environments on hearing and communication can be used to establish the effect of soundscapes on daily life. Thus, historic documentation and psychoacoustic analysis, I'm so blind, add to the understanding of life for settlers on the Great Plains. Settlers moving from urbanized or relatively settled areas in the east face the risk of mental breakdown caused by the harsh living conditions and the extreme levels of isolation on the prairie. Prairie madness sometimes resulted in the afflicted person moving back east or, in extreme cases, suicide. Nobody wants to touch on that. Okay. Sounds good.
I think everything makes sense. If you, it all tracks.
It drives you mad.
Think about
like
seasonal affective disorder in a city is a thing. So people that, like, let's say you live alone, you don't have kids, don't have a significant other, and you're living in a larger city, even though there are millions of people around you.
Yeah.
The suicide rate for those people is high. Because they're hearing the same kind of things over and over. They're seeing the same kind of things over and over. And if they can't find a way to occupy their time successfully, I guess, for their mental health, they eventually succumb to that. And like, if you think about seasonal affective disorder, the suicide rate's the highest in January and February across the nation. So that's a thing.
Yeah,
and imagine that.
Like they call like what they call seasonal depression in the wintertime, like you said. It has to do with the fact that you're sitting inside, you're not able to go outside. You could, but it's freezing and the sun's not out as much, which makes it darker in your home. So you're just kind of sitting in your home, and a lot of people do what they do, which is like binge watch TV shows or movies, you know, a whole series of stuff or video games or whatever. And I know on paper it's like, oh man, that sounds great. I could just sit at home and do this all day. That shit weighs on some people.
It's a lot.
And it really fucks with you. And like I said, seasonal depression is a very real thing. We need that sunlight just touching our skin to make us feel more alive or, you know, just, I don't know, less, I don't want to say dead inside, but
it's okay, buddy. You're safe here. Let it out.
You really do.
Sorry, the pizza has really got to me.
You really do need that vitamin D, though.
You look at me when you said
even, you know, ways you to stimulate your brain. You look at all the ways we have now, and it's still depressing sometimes. You look at how much stuff they had back then.
You depress me, Drew.
You know.
I mean, what do you, like, all you had to stimulate your brain is to read. Pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean,
maybe.
Well, and talk, but what do you even talk about?
But there's even nothing. Like books were a luxury back then. You had to have money to buy a book.
Right.
Right. So people didn't have that luxury a lot of times.
Yeah.
She had no kids. She couldn't have a kid.
Could write a diary, I guess.
I guess I'm going into the movie now, but.
It's, well.
My bad.
And no, you're good, but like, and you got to think about stuff like that and the fact that, okay, so we've all seen Westerns, the old Westerns. You know how, like, in town there are the sounds of people walking down the street. There's people riding horses. So you hear the clopping of horse hooves or spurs, or you hear pianos being played, or people hooting and hollering and playing poker and poker chips and all that. You imagine, like, those are all, like, sounds of socializing and high levels of excitement and noise, right? It symbolizes that there is a group of people getting together and having a good time. And they're laughing and they carry on. And some people get shot, you know, the saloon doors shut. This town ain't big enough to do a
duel out in the street.
Yes. You know, you slap somebody in the face with a glove, trying to challenge you to a duel. Just like that. And you go out to the farm and there's none of that. So for anybody who's trying to compare, like, there couldn't have been that much noise back in the day anyway. Think of all that. Think of, like, if you live in what they called, like, what was the terminology? Like, a more suburban area where there were more people. More people around, which is going to create more sound no matter what they're doing. So one explanation for these high levels of isolation was the Homestead Act of 1862. Boom.
That's what I was looking for in my brain.
This act like stipulated that a person would be given a tract of 160 acres if they were able to live on it and make something out of it in a five-year period.
Okay.
So when, like, right at the five-year, they're just like, this looks like shit. Give us our land back.
Now, here's the thing, though. I mean, honestly, who are they fucking sending out to check?
Who's checking it? Yeah.
Nobody's checking that shit. It was just to get people to expand, it's like, get rid of the Indians.
They probably did send the guy out there.
Are you unchapping your lips right now?
Mm-hmm. I got you.
Don't look at me when you're doing it. So the farms of the Homestead Act were at least half a mile apart, but usually much more. Although there were thriving indigenous nations and communities, there was little settlement of Europeans on the plains, and settlers had to be almost completely self-sufficient. The homesteaders faced many challenges. Everything about the prairie was extreme. The land was flat and treeless, and the sky seemed to go on forever. On a tall grass prairie, the grass sometimes grew to be more than 6 feet tall. Trent, how tall are you?
I'm about 5'10", 5'11".
Oh, you wouldn't be able to see shit.
It's like my neighbor's yard in the summer.
Yes, basically. Wow. Yes.
It is not even joking.
He's not wrong. I've seen it. It is set. Yeah, well, you're there throwing the frisbee to practice some frisbee golf in your backyard, and it goes in your neighbor's yard, and
oh, it's gone.
It's gone forever.
Just go cut it for him next time.
You see
time
something like go over to where it landed, like the grass in Jurassic Park. Like a trail's just coming through.
Just go cut it for him next time, and just like leave a bill on his front porch.
Trent's going to pick it up and clever girls. It is said that the riders on horseback could pick wildflowers without dismounting.
Oh, convenient.
Yeah. Women worried about their children getting hopelessly lost in the grass.
Well.
Trevor! Trevor!
He was just here a second ago.
I don't know why they have an accent.
Summer. That German accent. Was that German?
That was not German at all. It would have been more. I'm not even going to attempt. Summer brought endless days of heat when the surface temperature could exceed 120 degrees, damn, which would cause periods of drought. There were rainstorms. Well, you got to think, with the weather being this way, there'd be rainstorms, tornadoes, swarms of grasshoppers that could destroy fields of crops, and never-ending wind also challenged settlers. Because thinking about it, too, if you're out there on the... I'll turn this game on.
I'm listening.
if you're out there on the prairie, and if you are, like, in an isolated area where there's no trees or tall grass, and it's just, you know, dirt, basically. Church it up, boy. Your name is Dirt. Where's that wind going to go? You know, there's nothing stopping the wind flow. So it's going to get mighty windy out there. So winters were long and cold. Blizzards were so strong that they could trap livestock and homesteaders under the snow.
Dang on.
During the long winter of 1886, horses and cattle died when their breath froze over the ends of their noses, making it impossible for them to breathe.
Damn.
Their breath would come out and then freeze onto their... That sounds horrible.
Yeah, I saw that on a TikTok once. Somebody was, it was like a sheep or something. They were like cutting stuff off of it just to get the ice off of its nose and breathe. I don't remember what that was.
I think I saw that.
Damn. They had to pull it out of its nostrils, like ice and fur and shit.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that sounds horrible. And painful.
Imagine pissing. Woo!
God, don't piss out there.
Just an ice needle up your shaft.
They probably didn't have a choice back then, did they?
Like an ice pick? Huh? Like a hot ice pick?
He said don't piss outside. I said they probably didn't have a choice back then.
Yeah, probably an outhouse. Yeah, but you had to walk outside. Likely,
yeah.
That motherfucker was probably just as cold, if not colder.
Yeah, but it would at least cut the wind off of you.
Well, here's another thing, too. These people during the Homestead Act, basically when they told them to take off, they were just fucking racing their carts, right? Just racing their little wagons. Woo, woo! And they get out there, and they just start staking their land down, right? Mm-hmm. So they're just going to wherever. They know nothing about American topography because nobody'd been out there.
Well, I thought that they were giving them this land, so it would have already been mapped and charted and
surveyed.
From what I heard during the Homestead Act, it was like a fucking race to get plots.
Okay.
Like, remember Far and Away or something like that with Tom Cruise
and Kidwell, Nicole Kidman?
Gary Kidman. That was about that. It was about the Homestead Act, and they're fucking racing to get land.
Yeah. That's a good movie, by the way.
Yeah. He's boxing. But, I mean, you think...
They're Irish, I believe. That's why I did that.
You think about it, though. They're getting this land, but they don't know where the fuck they are. They don't know that that's really not great land to... it's decent land now to farm.
Could you imagine? No GPS, right? So you pick your land, and you're like, I'm going to go to town and get supplies. And you go to town, and you're like, where the fuck did I leave my house?
Yeah.
I think it was that way.
I left my compass at home. Shit.
I mean, literally, there'd be no road.
No, there's no landmarks telling you, like... Yeah. Well, I got to go east on...
There's no trees to axe cut, which is what they did on the East Coast.
Drop breadcrumbs.
Well, they had to do something, so what do y'all figure they did for all that distance?
I have no idea.
Try to stake it on the way, maybe? But even then, what if somebody came by and was just fucking with you?
Yeah. They just moved the sign.
Well, how did you do it in Red Dead Redemption? There was a GPS in the bottom, wasn't there?
I put it on automatic travel and let it do its thing.
Well, cinematic, he knew where he was going.
That's what it is.
Yeah. So, building a home and establishing a farm was a challenge for even the most experienced farmers. But the free land, abundant wildlife, and richness of the soil made the challenge hard to resist. Choosing the right location for a homestead was very important. Newly arrived settlers, known as sodbusters...
Sodbusters?
Sodbusters. Don't call me your sodbuster for nothing.
Sod busting makes me
feel good. You get out there and you bust that sod.
You got it, boss.
Looking for land, known as sodbusters, who looked for land which featured a stream or creek and small rolling hills which served as windbreaks. Easy access to planned railroad lines was also an asset because it made it easier to ship goods and livestock to market. Once the land was selected, the homesteader went to the land office to make sure that the property was not already taken and to file a claim. You guys catch that?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. One of the
Is there going to be a quiz?
What?
Take notes.
I'll pass it.
Well, because we were talking about that earlier. I said I thought that somebody would survey. Once the land was selected, the homesteader went to the land office to make sure that the property was not already taken and to file a claim to saying, like, hey, that's my land.
I got there first.
Okay. Instead of just like, you know, if we all went to an Airbnb and we're running to pick, like, whose room is what?
That's my room.
Did they believe in dibs back then?
I believe dibs were in order. And
was that official law back then?
If you violated dibs, you were shot.
Hanged and then shot, for good measure.
You were shot as you're hanging. And not even to death. They just shot your kneecaps.
My knee.
This is your punishment. One of the requirements for filling the claim was building a home to live in within 6 months. Choosing the right site for a house was nearly as important for choosing the right claim. Building next to a small hill provided some protection from the constant wind.
Good idea.
Being near a stream meant easy access to water, but building too close also made flooding a real danger.
That's thing you really had to think it. Really had to think it out.
You go out there and you build a house, and they're just like you don't even get it. Like it's not completely done within 6 months, and they're just like, all right, well, this land is no longer yours. Well, I just built the whole frame, and that's too bad.
It'll be great for the next person to get started.
But keep digging. Tired of this, Grandpa. That's too damn bad.
Nothing. Sorry. I wasn't with you on that one.
I gotcha.
Okay. Well, all right.
Now, knowing everything that we know, we can transition into the movie
called The Wind.
The Wind, yes. The Wind.
Anybody want to start on The Wind?
I can start.
Yeah, go ahead.
Get us started.
So, The Wind is about a couple who already lives on the prairie, on this homestead, mm-hmm. have already kind of, you know, made their name out there. And they have a couple moving next door to them. Now, if you remember, when the couple moves in next door, that house, I'd say... And I'm not good with watching the movie and being like, geography, that's where that's at. I'd say what? It was at least half a mile out.
Oh, yeah, I'd say so.
Their houses didn't seem that far away from each other.
The perfect neighbor distance. In some shots.
And like I said, that wasn't uncommon. You would get a house that would be half a mile away, but most of the time there was much further. So
I'd be that one guy, like the whole fucking Western frontier, and you move in right there. You have this whole country you could
be your fucking neighbors with their
probably. 4x4s. I have the worst neighbor luck. I do.
Fear thy neighbor.
We're gonna have to pack up and move again. Tear the house down.
They don't say shit. I have good ones.
Yeah.
They don't talk. I don't talk to them back.
I'm going to say, fear thy neighbor teaches you that good fences make good neighbors.
Do you even know your neighbors? Do you know their names?
Yeah. I mean, they've done shit for me, and I've done shit for them, but it's not like we're like sexual favors. Come over for a barbecue.
Sexual. Yeah. Would they call you if your house was on fire and you weren't home? Okay. Well, that's a good neighbor.
Don't ever get too close to your
neighbors. State Firm is there. I'd like to think anyone would call if someone's house was on fire, but...
Hey, never know. Let's know your house that is on neighbor fire.
And I did it, fire. Sucker.
I was thinking, like, fuck that. Don't call me. Call the fire department.
It's true.
Unless you work for
the
fire.
Oh, yeah,
that's
good thinking. I'll call them.
Yeah, hey, your house is on fire, and you're probably not going to be able to get out, but I just wanted to call and let you know. Okay, bye.
Good luck.
Traveled.
So, these people move in next-ish door.
Yes. Their neighbors move in next door. It's a married couple mm-hmm. moving in next to
a married couple.
A frontier woman and her husband.
That's right. And it's said by them, I don't remember where they're from, but they lived in one of those more highly populated areas. And they decided to come out there and basically live on the land and try the prairie life. And that prairie life, Trent,
it ain't for everybody.
It's not.
The woman didn't want to come.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's true.
She was a city girl. She thought her husband was a pussy.
Just a city girl.
Sorry.
Where was she living?
It was a lonely world.
Okay. Wow.
Just dial it back with the enthusiasm.
I know, right? Like, we had that one episode where we began with Journey, and now, like, we...
Oh, that was so good.
We can't top that.
Why are you guys... You're at least smiling like that.
I'm going to sing the song now.
Can we do separate ways next?
I say we go our separate ways. You guys get
out. I walked into that one.
On a serious note.
I love you, boys. So what else happens too, in this movie?
Oh, we're talking about a movie?
What's the horror element in this movie?
Every time he says I love you, you two ignore it.
There's a horror element. We know that. But there's also a horror element.
Hey, you be careful. That's
I know who it is.
The next Indiana Fever right there.
Fuck her.
Basically what happens, Trent, is she starts to get a little bit of that prairie madness in her. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know how women are once they get that prairie madness in them.
Which one? I think they both got the madness.
They did, but the wife next door got it first, and I think that's it was like a chain reaction. Unless
her name was Isabella.
I don't know.
We need to look up these names. You watched it this morning. You should be ready with this.
Man, you just read about it.
I've got it pulled up. I'll look it up.
I think the blonde-haired woman was the only one that had prairie madness.
Lizzie and Emma.
And I think the other girl was messing with her man, and she already shot her, and he didn't find out, obviously, till the end of the movie. But I think half of this, well over half of this movie was in her head.
Lizzie was the main chick, right?
Well over half of it was in her head. Right?
Like which parts?
Like almost all of it. If you think
like
about
all
it.
Like all the supernatural stuff, for sure, I would think.
Well, and you got to think, too, even the stuff that did happen, that was actually happening, her brain twisted it into something else, like the preacher. At first, she thought she imagined the whole preacher thing. And then when her husband came back and says, I just passed the preacher.
Yeah.
Now we know the preacher was really there. Because I was wondering, I was like, was the preacher ever really there? Because do you guys remember when Lizzie was, she was by herself. That was the thing too. Her husband says that they're going into town. It'll be like what, like a 2 or 3 day journey?
Two day
journey. He's like, I'm going to get supplies. I'll be back in like 3 days. So she's out there by herself the whole time, and those
wolves
or coyotes or whatever that just show up out of nowhere.
They were definitely wolves.
And if you remember when she goes into the house, they come and they scratch up the door.
Mm-hmm.
But later when she goes out there.
They busted the door down.
When she goes out there, she notices like the sheep is still alive and there's no scratches on the door if you look in the background. Like the door is fine.
But she thought the sheep was like a fucking demon, so she shot it in the face.
So she shot the demon sheep. And like I agree with you. I think that prairie madness had already started to kick in, and she had herself convinced that she was seeing demons because she read that book, The Demons of the Prairie.
From that preacher.
From the preacher when they first got there to that land.
Yeah, I think that tracks.
I read a little thing on Reddit about it, about the ending.
A lot of theories.
A lot of theories, and one guy got on there, and it was interesting because it could make sense, I guess. It's like, what if the whole movie was a fever dream by her after she was already dying at the end, and she basically just killed her husband? She was, the preacher wasn't there, the group that moved, the family that moved in next to him wasn't real. She made up the whole scenario in her head.
When they lost their child too.
Yeah,
they died.
Samuel
misplaced their.
So
child.
She was grieving and just went mad, and none of that shit happened at all in the movie. I was like, that's a pretty interesting theory.
That is an interesting theory, and she was out there long enough by herself to do something like that.
So like the whole movie was after she killed her husband.
Yeah,
and then she's just thinking about all this bullshit scenario for the whole movie in her head. I'm like, it's interesting.
But she really did get stabbed, right? Remember, she fell on the scissors.
I mean, I'm assuming.
Okay. Well, let me tell you what pissed me off about that whole preacher scene.
He's been waiting all day for this.
Whether it was real or not, pissed me off. So, he comes over. She feeds him, yada, yada, yada. And then she sends him off. She's like, you should go stay at the neighbor's house. It's empty. You'll be comfortable there. Oh, by the way, don't open the door for anybody after night, even if it's me. And then he comes right back over to her place, and she opens up the door, no problem. Yeah, come on in. Surprise, surprise, it's the demon.
Damon.
Of course it's the demon.
Yeah, I mean, didn't she see him in the window, though?
I was annoyed by it. Yeah, she said, come over to the window where I can see you. But, like, take your own advice.
Yeah, but I think it's, like, it's easier to give that advice than to actually live it, you know what I mean? Like, once, like, to tell you, like, hey, don't do this. But then when you're in that situation, you're like, I can't just leave this person out there. Like, he saw something; he's clearly scared to death. Something that you think you've seen too, and you're like, I can't, in good faith, just tell this dude this preacher in good faith. I can't just, you know, I can't just leave him out there. You should have left him out there.
I have to be like, can you prove somehow that you're not a demon? And then I might let you in.
Say the Lord's Prayer.
That's right.
So Means thinks it was madness. You think it was madness?
I definitely think it was madness.
You think it was madness or demons?
He thinks this is Sparta.
This is madness.
I think it's madness is probably the most logical explanation.
Okay. Oh, I agree. I mean, I like to believe it. The demon aspect made it interesting to me, and I think it would have been cool if they'd gone into more detail on this whole demons on the prairie and the ones that what's her name kept naming. I don't remember the names now, but she would like rattle off their names sometimes.
Emma.
Yeah, where'd you hear about this movie? Or when did you first see it? Did you see it when it first came out?
I did see it when it first came out. I look up upcoming horror movies of the year when that year comes about. And I try to make it a point throughout the year to watch those movies when they come out, like month after month.
Mm-hmm.
And that was on the list of upcoming horror movies. And I like Westerns in general. So I was like, oh, that could be a neat concept. So I watched it. It was one of those I was trying to warn you guys, like, just so you know, it's not action-packed. Like, it is a very slow burn, but I don't mind slow burn movies as long as the story keeps me interested.
It was kind of a slow burn, but it's forgivable by the fact that it's only, what, like an hour and 20 minutes?
Yeah, it's not very long, so that helped.
I think movies like that that deal with, you know, people going crazy should be more of a slow burn. I think it helps create that atmosphere more.
Yeah, because it really didn't get like any kind of exciting until the preacher was there, and or after she let him into the house, and you found out that he was possessed, yeah, or that it was the demon, I should say.
I thought it was short, so it's not like it dragged it really at all. But I thought it stayed pretty exciting throughout because there's that whole, you know, what the hell's going on kind of vibe too, because all of the events were not in order. Mm-hmm. Like they would like reveal a little bit with each new scene, and it's like, right. Oh, okay, I see kind of what's going on here now. And then, like I said, the whole demon part kind of hooked me in. So
let's say it wasn't somehow a whole fever dream. Does that mean that she never really saw that the preacher's dead body out there because the husband said that he passed the preacher?
Right. Because the husband passed the preacher on coming home.
Just like she never saw the sheep body.
She never saw the sheep die.
Mm.
Until she blew its fucking blue sheep.
Oh, poor sheep.
Right.
Yeah. He did nothing to you.
I'm ready for my breakfast now.
Why would a sheep say that? I'm ready for my breakfast.
It was morning. The sheep's probably hungry.
What are you going to do with that rifle?
It's because of the way she fucking held the rifle every time she shot it.
Mm-mm.
It's like the part of the stock that you hold is up here. She's holding the barrel way down here the whole time. Did you notice that?
It was a long fucking barrel.
Still yet, though, you don't hold those like that because it'll burn your fucking hand.
Yeah.
That gets hot when you shoot those.
Maybe it was part of the madness. Maybe it was one of those subtle details.
It's a subtle detail that I blame on somebody that doesn't know how to shoot a fucking rifle. It's making a movie about somebody shooting a rifle.
She's like talking to the director. Shouldn't I hold it like this? No, put your hand out in front.
Yeah,
put
it way out there and grab it really all the way around.
I want people to think you're burning your hand and you just don't care because you're going crazy.
Little things like that piss me off about guns.
And
stuff,
if you've got your arm extended out that far, you're not going to be able to control the kickback over that well either.
Mm-hmm.
Plus the one time she was like going to shoot the wolves, like the butt of the thing was like right next to her face. And I'm like, and she's holding it out like this. I mean, I was going to smack her right in the face with a real gun.
I'll tell you. Shoots and it slips off and flies behind her. Fuck.
Gun-related things I hate in movies is when people just, especially when people are supposed to be trained like police officers in scary movies, and they just start shooting wildly and randomly at anything.
Yeah.
Come on now. Worst example of that is in the Hills Have Eyes remake.
Do what? What'd you say?
I said I'd feel safer with fucking some guy with a Glock or something sideways.
No, I don't do that either.
Kill shot. That's a kill shot.
All right. I think I'm in the minority. Are we giving like final thoughts?
Yeah. Go ahead, Jerry. So your final thought.
Well,
did you two know about this movie before he suggested it?
I think I've seen it on there before, but I never watched it.
I don't know. I'd never heard of it, no.
And this is the director just directed, a female director. She just directed something recent that's pretty big.
Did they tell you the story about the last time we were recording and they kept on bringing up the wind and I was like, what? And then finally they were like, did you watch it? And I was like, what do you mean, did I watch what? The wind.
The wind. Well, he's been talking about the wind for a while because I remember him talking about it before our episode the last time I taped. It's been a while.
Ian's our obscure movie guy on the podcast. He likes to bring in these little known movies.
I do. She did Five Nights at Freddy's.
That's it. Five Nights at Freddy's.
Okay. I didn't see it, but.
Which I wasn't a huge fan of.
I was not a fan.
I didn't watch it either. I kept telling myself I was going to.
So here's my take on this movie. I thought it was very slow paced, and that bothered me because. Not because I don't like slow burns, I just like better payoffs if I get a slow burn. And I felt like the FX and all that stuff was bad. I know it's an indie movie, but I felt like all the effects were bad. I felt like it was decently acted by a couple of characters and really shitty acting by a couple. So I think the two main characters, good. I think the two neighbors, both of them were bad.
I think Emma was as bad, but Gideon was horrible.
Yeah.
He was not really a good actor.
But I wonder if they were supposed to be like that, because that was the first thing she said, or he said about him, was that they're weird.
I didn't get that. I just got bad acting.
The bad acting is what I got.
I like that she left it ambiguous at the end a little bit, where you could get different interpretations. I love those type of movies, because... It brings to the table something different for everybody, right? So I like that. But if I was going to compare this to a movie, because we're talking about madness, it definitely wasn't like a demon type movie to me. It didn't have really, had a couple of cheap jump scares, but they weren't good. Bad special effects, a little bit of bad acting. But when I compare it, I want to compare it to other movies I've seen that are kind of like this, this isolationist madness. And I think, like, you know, the one with Willem Dafoe and fucking
Batman, The Lighthouse?
The Lighthouse was the same type of movie, right? And the two movies compared side by side, and it's hard to compare movies, but it is about isolationist madness, right? Mm-hmm. I felt like The Lighthouse was so much better and so much more interesting. Maybe it's because it's this female's first effort to make a movie. This is her first movie, right?
Yeah, her first
feature. So maybe that, movie. it was, I don't know.
I'll say it, I was not a fan of The Lighthouse at all.
And some people hate it. I just found it more interesting.
I haven't seen it. I've always heard good things about it.
It's weird. It's like an A24 movie, so it's nothing but metaphors the whole time.
It's also based on a true story.
It's all in black and white, too.
It's very loosely based on that story, though.
Yeah. I mean, it's their interpretation of what could have happened about these guys that died on them.
That is a wild story.
Yeah. I mean, it would be a good episode.
Agreed. If nothing else, just to talk about the movie.
Well, I don't know that it's necessarily a true crime, though. Would you consider that a true crime? The movie, at least?
We just do true
stories. I mean, there's theories that the one killed the other and then committed suicide, so that could be true crime. There's also theories that got swept off the island.
Fair. I mean, it sounds like there's some kind of eerie element behind it, though, so I'd be interested in checking it out.
Have you seen the movie?
Nope.
Yeah, the true story, there are many different interpretations of it because, like, they just kind of, like, fucking disappear. It's like the island of Roanoke.
Yeah.
We should do it because I want an excuse to watch it again. I've only seen it the one time. That's enough.
Let's do it.
I'd be willing to do it if you guys want to do it.
We could, because that'd be a good comparison to this movie.
You heard it right here, folks. Lighthouse coming sometime in the not-too-distant future.
Right after Wells does Haunting in Connecticut 2, finally.
Funny enough, you mentioned comparing it to movies.
We can still do it if y'all really want to, but I don't think anybody's waiting for that episode.
It's worse than Banshee.
I know we're not. But you were talking about comparing it to movies. I was talking to you about it because we were talking about slow burns and how they can be good if they're done right. They don't always have to automatically be boring. And I jokingly to him was like, so that means you like The Lodge, right? Because that was a very similar movie in my mind, too. Like isolation, someone going crazy.
And I told him, I said, well, that's not the same thing because The Lodge was not a well-done movie, in my opinion. I didn't like the story of The Lodge.
But it reminds me of that movie.
Yeah, I agree. But I said I don't mind slow burn movies, but that slow burn movie didn't keep me interested because those kids were fucking assholes for no reason. We've already went over all that. I won't get back on my soapbox, but
I know. I just thought it was fun. I like this better than The Lodge too. I'll say that. I thought The Lodge was okay. The story was more interesting to me as well.
I didn't think this movie was that good. Like I said, I'm in the minority. I would give.
Well, you stole one of my negatives. I was going to say the one negative for me was I didn't like the acting either. I didn't think the main girl was that good, and I definitely did not think this neighbor girl was very good.
I just felt like the slow burn had no payoff.
She was okay, but she just still wasn't believable to me as like a frontier woman. She just, I don't know.
I had to remind myself what The Lodge was. I knew I'd seen it.
You're like the guy on the podcast. You're on this podcast. We'll do 100 episodes and you'll forget 99.
No. And he listens to all of them.
Yeah. You'll remember the episode. You won't remember the movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember details. I'm just like, which movie was that?
But no, I didn't think she was great, the acting. But I liked the story. I liked, you know, the slow build up.
It had some good shots in it.
The cinematography was... Anything out west is always going to look pretty in a movie.
It wasn't bad cinematography.
Now, she was also in Insidious, The Last Key.
Yeah.
Which I didn't remember. I've seen that one, but I don't remember her in it.
She was one of the sisters, the granddaughters of Elise. So the sister that is in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
The other girl is that girl, and she's the one that goes back to the house with Elise and like travels with her and stuff to the further.
I mean, she wasn't like bad. She just wasn't convincing in that role. And like you said, the neighbor girl was not good at all. I didn't think
she was horrible, but I definitely thought like the guy that
the preacher was the best actor probably in the movie.
Now the girl that played Lizzie's husband in the movie,
he was all right.
He was in the Fear Street movies. I like those.
Okay, he was all right.
I like those movies.
I thought the main actress was pretty decent as a frontier woman.
But yeah, I don't know. I liked.
I believe that she could be tough.
I will give this movie, if I'm going 1 to 10, what's my usual, like, meh? Is it 5? 6?
Your scale is your scale.
Well, I'm trying to remember.
I think 5 is average in an okay movie, personally.
So I'll go 5. 5.5.
I was going to go...
It was watchable, I thought you were but I will never with. Watch it again.
I was going to go 6 or 6.5.
I'm not a big fan of...
Okay.
I love slow burn movies. I'm not a big fan of slow burn movies that have very little payoff.
What did but you I say? Don't think Westerns what can be... 6.5? 6.5, somewhere in there. I think Westerns almost always should be slow burns because it's a slow burn lifestyle. There's not a lot of... I mean, unless it's a shoot-'em-up kind
There's
of Western.
There's not a lot of burn.
I mean...
You didn't like Sam Raimi's...
I love Quick and the Dead, but that's dead. Not the same kind of...
I showed that in my film studies class to you guys.
I have that. We should all have a movie night and watch that.
I've shown them how to do like
that's a spaghetti western. Zooms that's and all a, kinds of shit. That's different. That's
that was you put not that a spaghetti western.
It was more. I don't know. It was a western and it was a great movie, but
it's more modern.
It's a Raimi movie.
Western. It's a Raimi movie for sure.
Yeah.
But anyway, no, I like this movie more than I thought I would. I agree with you. I probably wouldn't necessarily watch it again necessarily, but wasn't mad that I watched it. I had a good time with it. They should make more horror westerns, I think.
It was a simple 6.5, story. 6.5, huh? What helped it was short. If it would have been longer and drawn out at the same time,
I would agree
if they
with
would
that.
Have added some scenes, it might have made it better, might have made it worse. Like, I was thinking, like, if they had some Native Americans come in and attack her, or...
It was just the right
Oh, why did it have to be Native Americans, Aaron?
Well, I mean...
By the way...
Better neighbors that she didn't have.
Are you thinking my 6.5 is low?
No.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. Too high for your taste?
No, I don't have an opinion on it anyway. I'm just...
You don't have an opinion on the movie?
No, on your rating. Oh,
okay. Yeah, said much about the movie. I don't know where you're leaning yet.
I don't want you to.
You still didn't watch it, did you, you son of a bitch?
No, I watched it. I mean, I've given you too many, or given you, given you too many details about it for me not to have watched it.
Could have Wikipedia'd it like me.
So...
Draft stock going up as we talk.
So is his heart rate.
Yeah.
So as I said before, like one of the things I love about doing this podcast is I get to watch a lot of movies that I haven't heard of that you all suggest sometimes, and I feel like I probably would never got around to watching otherwise, and then like wind up really liking those movies, become some new favorites. This is not one of those movies.
I knew he was going to do that.
Yeah.
It's a backhanded compliment.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was trying to warn you guys this wasn't going to be the typical, like, suggestion from me.
Hey, I'm fine. I'm fine watching any movie. I did not feel like I was cheated out of my time.
Yeah, I felt like
it's not horrible.
It wasn't horrible, but it definitely wasn't great. And even with the short, like, I think it was actually 1 hour and 28 minutes, I still kind of felt like it drug on a little bit. But once the demon came out in the preacher, like, it kind of picked up for me. Got a little exciting. So I didn't hate it.
Once the demon came up, yeah, I was like, yeah, okay, get that bitch.
Yeah, the demon brought life into it for me.
Of course he did.
Yeah. But, yeah, like I said, I like the main actress. I thought she did a good job. She's probably about the only one that stood out, but definitely would not watch this again myself. I'm going to give it, like, a 4.5.
Damn.
That's one of the lowest you've ever given on this podcast. Yeah.
It's the same score I gave to Darren's Bands.
Oh, wow.
This is down there with that movie?
You think it's that bad?
Even movies you don't love on this podcast get a 7 easily from you.
I don't know if it's as bad as The Barons.
It's a well-made movie. It just, you know.
The Barons is pretty bad.
It is. But I was ready for this movie just to be over, to be honest with you.
You just were in a bad mood this morning, weren't you?
No. I would just
you're like, I
got to
go into work on my day off.
It was not great, but it wasn't horrible.
Yeah, that scene at the end where she's sitting in the middle of the field and the camera's panning out, I was like, please let this be the end.
So I have the highest so far until we hear from Ian.
I was going to give it a 6.
Okay.
I don't
was it
going to
be
movie.
Higher before you heard all of this
no,
negativity?
No, I was going to give it a 6 because I like the general idea of the story because I kind of knew about Prairie Madness going into it. And I always thought, like, man, anytime I watch a Western, I'm like, man, I go back and forth. I'm like, that would suck living out there and having just nothing but
captured
farming.
It well.
And like, what do you do with your time? But then I also thought, well, you don't know anything else. You know what I mean? That's all you know. So that's normal.
They have fucking beeswax windows. They don't even have
glass.
But they did know other stuff because they moved from the city, right?
Yeah, but the city life there is, like I said, it's like hearing wagons more often or horses neighing.
Mm-hmm. Well, taking a vacation for tranquility is all right, but living in
every
total
day.
Tranquility becomes a nightmare at some point. Fair. What you're saying.
Yeah.
Like, you wanted to go out in the woods by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever do that?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Thank God.
You were wanting to do
that.
He bought
a theater instead.
I think you ought to do that sometime.
That's a compromise.
He'll hallucinate that he had a baby and turned into a demon.
Turns out
I've never been in a theater.
This man's going to wind up stranded on the edge of a cliff that he shouldn't have been on in the first place.
And my back's going to give out.
He's just going to be on this little ledge on the side of this mountain.
More. Looks down. It's like 2 feet off the ground.
Yeah, I'm definitely afraid of heights. So
that
looks like that. Well, that would sound like me. Yeah.
I think they should have done more with the demon storyline, personally. That's what made it interesting.
I think it should have been more incorporated with the whole movie.
Had it been a movie about just going crazy out in the Western Plains with no demon or supernatural, it would have been a bad movie.
Have you guys ever seen the independent Western horror called Dead Birds?
Yes.
No.
I thought that was better than this.
It had Michael Shannon in it?
Maybe.
It had somebody.
It had that dude that was in E.T., maybe?
So now that you say
Henry
that,
Thomas?
Trent,
yeah,
I kind of feel like maybe that was part of the reason why I didn't really
like
it.
Too. And they get stuck in this house. Like
they're like robbers.
It's because I loved the idea of a Western horror, but
I do too.
I didn't really feel like there was a horror element to this movie until that demon came out.
Western horrors that are pretty good.
For the record, we are both right. Henry Thomas and Michael Shannon are both in this movie.
It's a good movie too.
I like that movie.
Watch Dead Birds. Probably free on TV.
And Isaiah Washington. There was a lot of big
names. Hey, what's the actor's name that played the preacher?
Trent's putting in his old Rolodex.
Now I'm going to look up some horror westerns to see how many.
Because I swear he's like related to Michael Rooker.
Who?
The preacher.
He did look and kind of sound like him.
Yeah, he did.
I feel like horror westerns is like a genre that a lot of indie and low budget movies usually kind of do. Because you don't really see a lot of studio big time horror movies do that.
Miles Rooker.
Bone Tomahawk.
I would love to do that on this episode if I could find a story to connect to it.
That's a fucking...
I'm sure there is.
That movie's...
It's not really a horror, but it's kind of horrific.
Oh, it's horror. There's, I would definitely call that a horror.
Which one is it?
Bone just, Tomahawk just is the first one that pops up when you look up horror westerns. Basically
for one scene. But man, it's a fucking killer scene.
You should watch it anyway.
Will. Art the Clown could learn a lot from this movie.
Somebody gets scalped, don't they?
No.
The Oregon Trail. The Oregon Trail. Just in name alone, I got to watch that. Yeah, I don't know. It's it could be a fun genre. It's mostly, like I said, mostly low budget indie movies.
I mean, westerns were the biggest was the biggest genre from the 40s all the way to the late 60s.
You
right?
Never did.
Yeah, true.
And then it just kind of died. And then we had the spaghetti westerns. It kind of brought it back to life a little bit. But then throughout the 70s, 80s, 90s, just a few here and there. We don't, there's not a lot of westerns that come out unless it's straight to video. But it is a cool genre for the fact that it's macho, it's kind of action packed, it's kind of Midwestern.
My favorite Western is The Mandalorian. It is a space Western, it really is. You laugh, but it's true.
I'm not laughing. I'm laughing that you'd bring up something fucking Star Wars related again.
I will always bring up Star Wars. It's tattooed on my skin, literally.
Go out and watch The Wind, listeners, if we have any out there still. Let us know what you think of it.
Yeah, it's The Wind. It's worth blowing through.
It's worth it because it's free to watch on
good?
TV.
Is that good? Did you think I opened a window?
I thought the wind was, but I could feel it on the nape of my neck. That must have just been your
the nape
tongue.
Of the neck. Take a drink, listeners. Ian mentioned the nape of his neck.
Wells is like, yeah, it blows all right.
Oh, that should have been your. How did you not sum up your review that way?
Blows all right.
Yeah, it's.
It can't be no worse than American Haunting. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so this 4.5, that has to be one of your lowest on this whole almost 3 years of podcasting.
I strongly disagree.
You gave it a 2? Is that what you gave that?
No, I think I gave American Haunting like a 4 or 5.
You guys are tripping.
I don't know that I've ever given anything lower than a 4 on this podcast.
It's like a 5.
No
maybe.
Way that
maybe
American Haunting was worse than this movie.
I think yes. It was.
I think they were both equally bad.
American Haunting was bad for different reasons. Like the directing, the acting, like there were so many things bad about that movie.
The slap.
I actually thought the acting was better than this movie.
It was.
But
overall, because it had actual good
actors
in it.
There was more action. But it was just such a dumb fucking movie.
This movie, I feel like, even if it doesn't hit with you, it was at least trying some things and doing some things that were kind of like, I don't know. I feel like there's layers to this movie if we wanted to get into it, but I know we're done with that, so.
Why is she so dressed down right now?
You talking about that woman in the corner of Ian's apartment? I don't know. What are you doing over there?
Hey, leave her alone. Leave her alone.
Put some clothes on. Not really.
It's okay. Why are you chained to the wall?
That's Ian Wells' apartment.
Okay. I wrong forgot. Ian.
Well, I appreciated you doing this story
sorry,
for
that
us.
Sounded more like oil can.
Learned a lot about the American West.
Yes.
The frontier.
Yes.
Learned about the Homestead Act.
About the back
learned a lot about Prairie Madness, though. So I did enjoy that.
I will have to say, if we look up the stats on this, I bet more people died of dysentery than Prairie Madness. So why don't they make a dysentery horror movie?
You've been playing the Oregon Trail, haven't you?
Shitting across the plains.
Do you think people die? Like, obviously,
you'd never make it past the Kansas River.
Obviously, people had shorter lifespans because of medicine and all that stuff. But do you think that also the fact that there was just nothing to fucking do and live for contributed to people not having a healthy, fulfilling life?
She did have that big-ass jar of pills, whatever it was.
I don't know. I feel like if you were...
I think a lot of it was lack of hygiene.
Definitely.
I think that was sure. every plague throughout history has been lack of hygiene.
And how come she was...
I think they washed their hands. I think they all were bored to death. That's why they all died back then. Nothing to fucking do. They went mad.
How come the main actress was the only person, or the main character was the only one that ever took a bath? Because
she had blood everybody. All over. It took her having blood all over to finally take a bath. Yeah. Now will you get in the tub? Fine.
The tub was actually blood. Just bathing in blood. I just can't get it off me.
All right. I feel like this is a short episode. Where are we at right now?
Hour and 10 minutes.
Oh, that's not very short.
No, the first like 10 to 15 minutes was banter.
That's true. That's true.
A short episode for a short
11
movie.
Minutes of bullshit.
Yeah. Isn't that what we usually call it?
We're gonna trademark that.
11 minutes of bullshit. All right. Well, that was the prairie.
Madness.
That was the prairie madness story. Nope. Let's try that again. That was our take on prairie madness and the effects it had on, you know, prairies.
Did you almost say plantations?
I almost said plantations.
It sounds like you're going to say Planned Parenthood.
On Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
All right. Oh. Well, I'm exhausted. I'm going to end this episode.
Wait.
Now. What?
We have to promote our next episode. It's the big 100.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, keep it 100, Ian.
This is a big deal. We made it 100 episodes.
Got it.
And we're kind of planning something different and special, but stay tuned.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's been a good ride with you all. Didn't think we'd make it this far.
Sounds like it's ending. It's been a good ride.
I'm out. I'm 99 and I'm done. 99 and I'm done.
Everybody started looking around like, what surprise, is he talking
Trent's
about
Trent's
here?
Not going to be on the 100th episode? It was his
That's
idea.
That's why he brought that pizza. Motherfucker.
Yeah, anyway, 100 coming up next time. Stay tuned for it. Okay, now you can end it. Ian's got another job to go to when he's done here. So.
Yeah, I got a
door. Ian loves movies so much, he just purchased a theater.
He's back in the game. Just when he thinks he's out, they pull him back in. That was terrible. That was, I don't know. I don't even know who that was.
Squiggy playing Tony Montana.
Are we still
recording? Hey, that's when I think I'm out, like they pull squeaky. Me back in. Hurrah!
That was old Pacino.
Pacino and Sin of a Woman.
All right, well, I'm taking this thing out back and putting a bullet in it now.
Just like that goat.
Oh. It was a sheep.
That's a bad joke.
All right. I think you mean just like Emma.
This episode is not the goat. This is probably one of our...
Thank you for joining us on the Horror You Know podcast. I'm Ian.
I'm Darren. Darren!
I'm Ian, and I'm in the wind.
Oh, my God. Get out.
That's me in the wind. I'm getting out right now.
I'm Trent. I don't know what else to say after that.
Yeah, where do you go? Where do you go there?
All right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Stay spooky, my friends.
Yeah.
Worst outro ever. Is that the wind?
This is the first 20 minutes of the movie.
When was that noise ever in the back?
Oh, you had to really turn the volume up. When the moon is high. That was the demon.
And the shadows dance. The evil will rise.
All right, well, hey.
The world between the living and the dead is thin. So now is the time to let... Or you know.